Bonjour. Today on the podcast, I am chatting with Lockhorn and Christopher about their life in Provence. They have a world of knowledge about where to visit, the most beautiful villages. They have a lot to say about different food and wine that you should try. And we also talk about their business. They offer custom private tours in Provence. And as you will hear from listening to the podcast, they definitely know where to take you in Provence. While you're listening, I'm sure you'll want to write down a ton of recommendations. So make sure you have a paper and pen, or in the show notes, you can follow the link to the blog post where I have written down all of the recommendations as well. Enjoy. Bonjour and hello. Welcome to Take Me to Provence, a podcast where I hope that no matter where you live in the world, whether you're planning a trip to Provence or maybe it's just a dream for now, you can be transported to the land of rosé, lavender, sunshine, and the beautiful French way of life. I'm Janelle, a Kiwi living in Provence with my husband and twin toddlers. On Take Me to Provence, I'll share stories of the Provençal, some who are born here and others who have chosen to call this place home. We'll discuss all things Provence, the must-visit villages, the Provençal cuisine, the wine, history, traditions, etc. So voila, are you ready for me to take you to Provence? Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Welcome, Lockhorn and Christopher, to the podcast to Take Me to Provence. Thank you for being here and for having a conversation with me today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. I am really excited to get into a lot of questions, a bit about you both, how you know each other, how you met, how you ended up in Provence, and also about the very interesting project. I totally forgot what you call it. It's not a job. It's a your business.
It's a business. I like to call it a ballad, a walk. You know, a ballad. So it's,
yes,
it's having a day out with friend.
Oh, nice. Okay. So your business, which is a ballad, walk, a fun.
It's a day out or a few days out in Provence, discovering together the region.
Yeah. Technically, it's a touristic tour.
Yeah.
Try to make it more soft. And
like you're just hanging out with a friend for the day, exploring Provence.
Yeah.
Amazing. So we're going to get into all of that a bit later on and hear a bit about, what you do, where you go. But first off, if you could start by introducing yourselves and telling me a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and how you know each other.
You start.
Okay. Well, I'm Laurent Nourisseau. I come from Burgundy originally.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I'm trained as an interior designer and painter. I work in Paris, different agency. Until I met Chris in Germany through mutual friend in a birthday party. So.
Okay, so were you living there or no?
I was living in Paris and we met in Hamburg at a birthday party. So. You know,
amazing.
random stuff.
Yeah.
And a year later, I moved to London, found a job, not in interior design, but in event management, creating like exhibitions, museum, conferences.
Yeah.
So all on the design side. So I stayed there for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And had a business also in interior design with shop. So selling like young designer, interior design, but things were not mainstream, more like creative stuff.
Okay.
For a few years and moved back to France 11 years ago. So.
Amazing.
And me, I'm Christopher Curtis. I'm my family originally from the West Country. Although as a very small child, they up and left and moved. And from college onwards, I moved in and around London. So I've always considered most of my adult life is in London. So I always think of London at the time as home.
Mm-hmm.
I've been visiting Provence with Lauren for, 25 odd years, discovering it together.
Yes.
I first came here. I worked with an agency in London. I was an account director, handling corporate events, mainly business to business, eventually business to consumer.
Mm-hmm.
I think I burnt myself out at that because I just, after a while in marketing, it's very pressurized and I wanted to do something else. We eventually ended up in Provence. Change of pace, do something different. Midlife crisis, I don't know what.
Completely.
And
first 2 years sold the flat.
In London.
Put all the furniture
in storage.
In storage. and we moved to Marseille. We wanted a big city, mm-hmm. sunshine, the sea and things. So we knew Nice, we wanted to go back to Nice. So, okay, we've been probably 15 years ago, a bit more, to Marseille for a long weekend. We didn't like it. We said we'll never go back to that place, not to say anything rude.
And never say never.
Never say never. But we thought, well, okay, exactly. Big city, sunshine, try Marseille again. So we rented a flat for 3 months and we said, well, if you don't like it, we go to Montpellier or somewhere else. And I was stayed. And found a house and bought a house and voila.
Yeah. And I'd never had a sabbatical after college. So we'd saved some money and we were able to stretch that for 18 months of not working and just enjoying the area.
Chris is a photographer and I'm a painter also, so the idea was to have like some free time to do things and enjoy it.
We thought we'd have a bohemian lifestyle and I could take pictures and he could paint pictures and we'd live happily ever after. But that's very hard to do. And
It's a nice dream.
But after 18 months, 2 years, we're like, okay, we need to think about it.
Yeah.
And it's actually a friend from the US, from New York, who came over on holiday with us.
Yeah.
And obviously, we were showing around, you know, different places we liked in Provence and market, vineyard, whatever, a historical place. And we were talking one night over too many bottles of rosé. we need to do something because obviously art is not enough. And she said like that, well, why don't you create something around showing people around what you like of Provence? Mm-hmm. And that was the idea started, basically.
Amazing. So you'd been in Provence for 18 months and then...
At the time.
Roughly.
And so when you were deciding to move from London to Provence, you mentioned that you wanted sun and city. Is that why you decided not to go back to Burgundy?
No, it was never an option. I left when I was 19, I would never go back.
Okay.
I think what it was essentially is that we had the concept stores in London and retailing is tough today, but it was starting to get tougher and harder and harder. And you were just working. And we just wanted to enjoy life a little bit and balance life.
Yeah,
and so we said, okay, well, let's
and basically
I don't know, it wasn't really, we didn't sit down and make a decision by way of let's write a business plan, let's put a life plan, we just did it.
It wasn't planned at all.
And I guess you said 3 months trial in Marseille and then you never left.
So and for work with what we do when we started the tours. We wanted to do something that wasn't typically people arriving, little groups of people all getting together on a minibus and going round and being very regimented in the day. We wanted to try and find a little niche for ourselves.
Nice.
That the traditional tour in general, like Chris said, is a lot of is on minibus.
Yeah.
And you lose a good hour in the morning to pick up people from different points to different hotels. And it's just not the way we like to travel also. Yeah. We don't like to be in groups. So if we do things with guides around the world, it has to be just us.
Yes,
so we wanted the same things, basically. And
and we didn't, I don't think we really knew that there was necessarily a big market out there for the type of private tours we wanted to offer. Mm-hmm. But then again, we said, well, we're not trying to build an empire.
No.
So there's probably enough to earn a living.
There's a few companies like us already. If I research a bit on this. There is a lot on minibus. Mm-hmm. There's a few who do only private tour and things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also the difference with a private tour and a minibus, in general, the minibus drop you.
Okay.
And tell you to come back, the chauffeur tell you to come back in an hour's time and things and give you a quick plan and things. Us, we accompany people all the way.
Mm,
so
nice.
We walk
we
with
spend
them,
the day, we,
show,
we have lunch we shows, together.
Yeah. We show them the... So the idea is, obviously, some places have to be touristy, like Saint-Denis-Provence or Aix-en-Provence and things.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to take them also to places a bit off the tracking, beaten track.
Yeah, yeah.
So nice little restaurant, little shops we know, little things are not necessarily in a touristic village and things. So that's also quite...
And those are the things which I think most people want to experience, but it can be a bit intimidating if you don't speak French to go to those off the beaten track places because they normally don't speak English there.
Well, our principal market is the United States.
Mm-hmm.
and
Australia,
a little bit Australia and New Zealand, principally 95%, I would say, pretty much is from the US, and about 5% from the rest of the world. But it fluctuates.
Sometimes Canada. Sometime.
And so, if you listener haven't figured out already, Laurent and Christopher started a tour agency, essentially, doing tours called Au Provence. So how long has Au Provence been
really
alive
we
for?
Got into it proper in around 2019.
Nice.
And that's when it started to really take off.
2019 was a fabulous year for tourism in France.
2020, I don't know what happened, but we all had a few months off.
Yes.
And because
a little cold, something sneezing.
Because we're dependent on the borders being open the year after and the international borders open. And suddenly, in the autumn of 21, it got crazy again.
Yeah.
22, 23 were really exceptional years for that. And during that time, we concentrated on not so much what we were saying, but on what other people were saying about us. So during the COVID period, a couple of guests sent us emails and said, look, can we write you a review? And we said, that would be very nice.
Yes.
And we didn't really quite appreciate the value of something like Google. Mm-hmm. And as a small business, you think, well, you know, Google's for big brands, big business. But oh my gosh, when you just start to get 20, 30, 40, 50 people saying nice things about you, you start getting people contacting you. And that's where we are today, really.
I mean, Chris started a bit before that on his own, just to few to tour on his own and things.
Yeah.
And I did also a few things in Marseille with drawing and painting.
Trying
to teach, to look around a bit, testing the market. But that was more on mixed group and things. And that was quickly turning into a nightmare of, you know, two or three couple came for drawing and one wanted to shopping, one to do a cafe, one to do something.
Yeah.
And it was just not... Yeah. I was like, you know, it's like looking after children. I was like, nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a year or two before, I kind of got into it by accident, really. And I just found I quite enjoyed it. I started working with a Canadian company that has local guides. And I thought, well, why not? And I found it really enjoyable. At times, very tiring because it's a long day and you're talking all the time and you're entertaining and you're driving and everything. But actually, it was very rewarding.
Yeah.
So I kind of got into it in a way by accident.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And exactly. And so now you provide personalized kind of bespoke tours, right, for individual groups. So as you said, it's
they're mainly couples or 2, 4, 6 people, but always people who are a group of friends, family traveling together.
And how do you decide where you're going to show them in Provence, where you take them?
We are in different platform or on a website, so we have different tour planned. So some are more based on are based on wine, some are on visiting villages, on market and things. So people choose.
Yeah.
And also it's always can be adjusted.
It can be customized.
Customized.
And actually I'd say now more and more this year especially, we've maybe got about 25% of our guests saying, I really like to do that.
Yeah.
But can we visit
visit that? And actually what we've been doing this morning in San Remi is we've got some guests coming next month for 2 or 3 days. And she's interested in brocante fabrics.
Yeah, great.
And so we've been looking at different places that are a bit off the normal route.
Antique shops
to show them.
Oh, that's great. And do you have a favorite place that you like to take people to explore something that for you is like just an amazing thing to see in Provence?
Oh, there's plenty.
It's always difficult to say.
Yeah.
I mean, there is places like Gordes. I mean, it's a cliche, but when you are on the view on the top, it's beautiful. Right? Very early in the morning. After, there is places like even the Ocker mine. You know, that's already nice.
Yeah.
And off the beaten track is like going further up in the direction of Apt. So Apt, the village, is not that beautiful. But the market on Saturday is amazing.
Oh, great.
Really cool market.
Is it quite amazing?
And you've got villages like Seignon.
I've never heard of it.
Seignon's amazing.
Just north of medieval. It's more Hamlet.
Okay.
But there's amazing restaurant on the top. And it's just know the bakery, the cafe, that's all there is, mm-hmm. and this restaurant. And it's very quaint. And it's very...
And you drive through a plateau in the summer where all the lavender fields are, and it's the lavender fields that are lesser known.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
so it's sold. When we try to avoid, like, Platon de Valensole, for example, it's pretty, but...
Yes.
If you can like to see the lavender between car park, you know, and, and buses and things like that.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of balancing it. So there's probably... So between Les Baux, Gord, Roussillon, those are the probably the three villages that are the most packed during the high season. Yeah. But you just have to balance it.
I like Kerkuron, for example. Kerkuron is really cute.
Kerkuron is very pretty. Yeah.
And you have a little fantastic ice cream parlor next to the to the étang, so that's a good spot.
Which is perfect on a 35-degree day.
Yeah, but by example, Les Baux, if you want to go in the summer, go there at 10 o'clock in the morning and there's nobody there. Yeah. You have the village to yourself. Yeah. Go there at 12 o'clock. The whole world is there. So it's about balancing it as well. So we don't have a regimented route. We will kind of go, okay, this
north,
is...
North of Luberon and all the villages between, I would say, Gord and when you drive through... Looks
up
and
to
Gord.
Sol.
But also lavender and things. Yeah. So it's
amazing.
There's so much to choose, and that's what makes it really enjoyable. We actually live in Marseille, but we do very little work in Marseille.
Yeah.
But Marseille is so convenient. You're an hour to Avignon, an hour to Arles, 40 minutes to Saint-Rémy, Lormoran, 30 minutes to Aix. So it's actually
and then
a
you're
perfect...
along the coast as well. Yeah. You've got all the other amazing places too to visit.
And so between the Camargue and the contrast of the Camargue and the other side of Marseille with Cassis is just incredible. It's so different.
Oh, for sure. And so you obviously know Provence very well. You've been to a lot of different villages and stuff. How did you discover it? Was it in the first 18 months? Did you...
No. So first I said I come from Burgundy.
Yes.
So if you think, so when I was a child, the direct holiday was, because the motorway is directly.
Yes, of course.
Burgundy, Lyon, Montélimar, going to Mars, but Aix-en-Provence and more the Côte d'Azur. So all my childhood, I used to come here at least minimum once a year, if not twice, with my parents. And after that, when we started to be together, it's like because he didn't know at all about Nice, he didn't know Provence. So I just started to show him Provence. Yeah. And so we always been on holiday here. Yeah.
So it was always kind of your go-to holiday.
Yeah. Well, between holidays.
Right.
We like traveling. So it's also going other side of the world. And between on small trip, go to Provence. Yeah.
Right.
And I discovered, in fact, when I was working, it's all pre-low-cost airlines, I was working with an agency in London. We were invited, some of the account directors were invited to Nice to look at the conference facilities.
Oh, great.
And it was British Airways at the time had what they called the Riviera route, which gave you a glass of champagne and a smoked salmon sandwich because you're going to the French Riviera. And I just thought it was so pretty. And what was very funny at the time, they said, don't go into the old town. It's far too dangerous. You wouldn't want to go there. Which
people
is,
still say things like that about Marseille.
So I've always had this sort of kind of connection with the area.
Yeah, and, amazing. Yeah. And so Laurent, you were saying since you've been a child, you've come to Provence. Do you have any childhood memories of places you went to? Or any, maybe there's a lot of festivals and stuff here, obviously, in Provence. Is there any that you went to as a child?
I don't think festival was even created when I was a child.
Oh, okay.
So it's such a long time ago. So yeah. I will remember some silly things. I do remember once being in, I can't tell you exactly where it was, but above Aix-en-Provence somewhere, and we were in an hotel, and it was such a storm. You know, a power cut, and it was like thunderstorm things. And I remember as a small child just like being terrified, all this lightning everywhere, the sky was ablaze for all night, and it was like so scary.
Is that normal in Provence to have?
It used to be more.
A long time.
A long, long time ago. I'm going to tell my age soon. But now in the past, in August, it used to always to be like a more scary thunderstorm, which doesn't happen much now anymore.
No. The first couple of years living in Marseille, in high summer, you'd get this sort of period where it becomes very humid. And it would just come in around midnight over the sea, and you've the incredible light show for about 3 or 4 hours.
Wow.
But it's true, the last couple of years has been less than that.
5 years. Things like that, and I remember more on the Côte d'Azur, like silly things, because obviously in Burgundy it's very remote, we live in a remote Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you used to go in the Côte d'Azur in Cannes or Nice on a promenade, and you see like crazy cars you never seen in your life. I remember in Cannes seeing a lady with two, I don't know what they were, but like not panthers and things, but like cheetah or something on leash and things.
And she has
a crazy outfit and big hat and sunglasses and just two wildcats on the leash on the closet, but a carton. So imagine as a small boy coming from Burgundy, was like, whoa, it was a planet, you know.
Oh my gosh, if I saw that now as not a small boy, but as an adult woman, I would still be surprised. Yeah. You wouldn't be allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah. Probably not, no.
But gosh, crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, that is very cool. And so now you've been living, how long have you been living in Provence for?
11 years.
11 years. Okay. What do you love the most about your provincial life?
It's a mixture of things between sort of everyday life, the fact, blue sky, sunshine. It sounds very cliche, but when you have the odd one or two days when it's grey, and as it's the last couple of days, it's rained a little bit, you look out the window, you feel quite depressed because it's just a day,
so funny, isn't
a day of grey sky, and then the next day the sun's out and you feel much better.
Yeah.
So things like that and just simple things of you go somewhere, you go to the market.
Yeah. And lunch outside on the terrace.
All year round.
Mostly.
And it's those sort of things. And it's sort of
things, walking the dog. In the countryside is beautiful. That is, even on the back of Marseille, obviously it's a big city, but you drive half an hour and you've got amazing countryside and things. So you can walk the dog, you can do crazy things.
It's just kind of saying, okay, let's on Saturday, let's go to the market in Apt.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we necessarily need some flowers and some cheese and some strawberries, but you go there and you make a day of it because you find a little terrace, you have a snack, you maybe have a coffee and a croissant somewhere and walk the dog. And you just go home in the evening feeling you've had a great day out. By contrast, the Camargue, the big beach at Pimanson, which is like 13 kilometres of flat sand and no people there. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And you go there in February, March, when the wind is blowing and the sea is rough. And it's just little things like that that I think living in a big city, you kind of forget about.
Because of the weather and the countryside, the landscape, it's easier almost to have a simpler life, even living in a big city, but also more enjoyable life.
Because
you can, it sounds silly, but you have a walk, and so like in February, you have all the almond trees in flower. You know, simple little things, but it's just so beautiful in a blue sky and a bit of wind, and you just feel like it's special.
And I think also,
it makes a big difference.
Also, the work that we do, obviously, we work all year round, but we're much quieter in winter time. And so winter through till Easter, we have nice weather, but you can just say, okay, let's just nice afternoon. Sometimes we don't plan to do anything, and then you just take the dog out in the afternoon, and you find yourself in Lormoran or Bonnier and things. So it's being able to discover things around and just the spur of the moment.
It is so doable. It is amazing that you can live in a big city like Marseille and be so close to nature and be isolated, as go to a place where you're fully by yourself as well.
And there's so much contrast between, for example, you've got all the tradition of the heritage of the architecture, say somewhere like Arles or Avignon, and then you've got the extremities of modern architecture, modern art with Luma, with the Avignon Festival, you've got more classical music at Aix-en-Provence, and then in Marseille you've got this whole mishmash of everything and theatre.
Yeah.
So you kind of got lots of layers of different things which make living here really, really
You're
really
never going to get bored here. Yeah. There's always something to do. And speaking of festivals, is there any festivals that you particularly like to get involved in?
With my enjoyment of photography, I enjoy a couple of days to go to Rencontre la Photographie in Arles. If we can, even though it's in the middle of the summer, we try to block a day here and block a day there, because you can't do it in a day.
No.
But we just go over in the morning.
There's Avignon and stand up.
Yeah. I love the craziness of the Avignon Festival, because you go there at 10 o'clock in the morning and you've got all these mad, crazy people in the streets dressed up.
Yeah, all the stand-ups.
It is crazy.
And I've been with clients before, and they're saying, come around the corner, because I've got this show in this in half an hour in this little basement. And they look at me and they say, stand-up comedy at 10:30? And I go, yeah, that's the Avenue Office. Yeah. So it's this whole mix of
it's,
things.
It's incredible. That last year, I didn't realise it had started. I just must not have been aware of the dates. And my kid's pediatrician is right in Avignon, and I had taken them in, and it was actually, they were getting vaccinations, so it was already like a bit of a stressful time. I was by myself, and we came out, and they were both like a little bit upset and stuff, and we walked straight into the parade of all these people, and I've never seen it before. It's my first time. I was like, this is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those weird out of body.
I've been once with client in Les Halles d'Avignon, the food market. And it was this group, it was for a play, probably 10 young actors and singers, and they were all naked apart from their little white brief. girls have a bra, but they were stark naked and in trainers, and they were singing and banging drums and singing. It was part of the show, and my client were like, gobsmacked their mouths open, you know, it's like, what the hell the French are doing? Almost naked in a food market. You know,
there's something for everyone.
But it's the contrast of things like that, because you always think Avignon is, with the Palais de Pape, is quite a traditional, classical tea. And then it's got this sort of crazy side to it. And it's everything is changing.
For sure. That is a very fun festival. And it does get crazy. Yeah. If you are visiting Avignon during the festival in July, I believe it's July,
earlier.
Right?
It's earlier this year because of the Olympics.
Oh, of course.
I think it's June through July,
different this year.
Rather than July through August or something like that this year. But it's earlier.
Just know that it's very hard to park in Avignon. It's very hard to do anything. Yes. But it's worth it.
You have to park on the island.
The island.
And walk. Mm-hmm. I take the free bus or walk across the bridge. And
that's a good idea.
Apart the crayon and walk. So.
Yes, that is smart. The tips and the tricks. Yeah. Exactly.
But don't tell everybody. I want some free parking space next summer.
But that island's also very nice to walk around as well. It's beautiful.
Yes.
So, Christopher, when you moved to Provence, was that your first time leaving England? To live, not to travel, but to live in a different country?
I lived in the south of France briefly for 3 or 4 years and then gone back to London.
For your life living in the south of France versus London and England, were there any big culture shocks what life is like?
Or not really, because I think life's a journey. So if, 5 years or 10 years' time, I ended up living somewhere else. I can easily score off a few countries. Something now, I really wouldn't like to live there.
Okay.
But in general, I could easily, if the opportunity came, I could be quite happy to adapt and go live somewhere else.
Oh, that's good.
So I don't have and culture. I've been involved and back and travelled a lot.
Yeah.
And I first came to France before there was a train from London, so you had to go to the coast and get on a hovercraft or a ferry. So I've never.
I was going to say steamer.
No. It was after the Industrial Revolution, well after. But so I've always kind of adapted and enjoyed adapting to different places.
For me, the same. I mean, when I moved to London, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was more the food, actually. But also, it's very different 30 years ago, London than London now.
Now there's so many.
I remember the first time I had to go to the supermarket, and it was rows of potato, carrots, and onion. I was like, what the hell am I doing here? But, I mean, because also we've been coming here for over 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's not like you arrive to a country you've never been before.
Yeah, yeah.
It was no wild cultural shock.
Is it different, though, do you think? I guess maybe for you, Laurent, because you've lived in French cities before, it's a bit different. But, like, do you think living in Provence is different to visiting? Or?
Yes. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the main things is obviously the winter time.
Yeah, right.
And there are lots of places that are very beautiful, and some of them are kind of affordable places in and around the more remote areas of the Luberon.
Yeah.
But then you go there at the end of October and there is nothing.
There's
no bar, there's no cafe.
Only open in summer.
Yeah, that is true.
And that's, I guess, the the sort of the main thing.
Yeah, they have this thing called, it's like congé annuel, is that how you pronounce it? Yeah, yeah, which is like, they'll close for 2 months, 3 months, sometimes. Yeah. Like, it's a long closure, which is crazy. Even in Saint-Rémy, which is like a decent-sized village, right? A good chunk of that is closed during winter as well, right?
I think two or three shops I've seen today, they're announcing that they're reopening in May.
A lot of things also. There's the hotel.
But there's a lot of people in Saint-Rémy today.
Yeah, yeah.
But also you have a lot of shops, you know, you have like a buy precaire, so a lot of things are just actually to rent only in summer.
Yeah, right, it's not
to rent in winter, so that's that also.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, I don't know, people make
it. It's a slow, like, I guess you just get used to it. In wintertime, you kind of hibernate a little bit. I guess you're not going to be doing as much.
But I think the big advantage of this part between, say, Marseille and Aix-en-Provence is you take the train and 3 hours you're in Paris. So actually, you can, if you really want, go for a day to Paris. Yeah. Or you can go for one day, one night, come back. So you can go to the theatre or do some shopping.
Yeah.
See some museums or a show, whatever, and then come back. So everything is more accessible than you think it is.
Yeah,
because it is so easy to get to.
It is true. Yeah, the train to Paris is amazing, isn't it? It's so fast. I do think, though, if you are visiting, like, to visit Provence, I think it is for good reason that people don't really come. I think at Christmas in December, it's quite amazing. They do actually a lot of Christmas things, right?
Yeah.
But it is true in January and February, if you're wanting to go to lots of restaurants and stuff.
It's not... Go to God in... Which mainly for tourists.
I went to God in January and there was like nothing open.
Not even the bakery. The bakery is open.
Yes, literally there was nothing open.
I can't remember the percentage between of people living there through the year and it's like tenfold in summer. It's just crazy. It's such a tiny amount of people living in Gord in winter. Wow. Yeah. It's a tiny place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
well, probably a lot of it is hotels, right? As well,
villas,
which makes sense. But yes, so we've kind of touched a little bit on this maybe. But food is... Oh, yes, we did. When you were said that going to London, obviously food was a little bit different. Food is a big part of French culture, of course. And in Provence, it is definitely a big part of the culture. What is some of your favourite Provençal food? Or food that you just... food, wine, I guess, beverages as well.
For me, I like to... I enjoy eating, and I'm a dreadful cook. A really bad cook. But I'm a good eater.
Me too,
I'm a good eater. So, and I appreciate nice food. So for me, it's things, simple things, like if you go to the market and you maybe buy a dorad that you put on a barbecue at lunchtime when in the springtime or the autumn, and just want to enjoy and relax, read a book in the afternoon, glass of rosé wine and thing. It's sort of simple things like that.
I think it's
like
about
that.
Putting fresh product together. I was saying earlier, like figs and goat cheese with a bit of honey and very spicy olive oil on top.
You can get all of that made in Provence, even honey.
And when the melons come into season here. And so it tends to, rather than saying dishes, it's more the ingredients, isn't it, put together.
I mean, I love a good ratatouille, oven bake. Not all put together in a dish, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely not from a tin, but but when it's oven baked slowly for 2 hours in the oven, it's lovely. Really lovely. And that's the same. You just buy stuff from the market and do it. Yeah. So after, Provençal food is very simple because Provence has always been in the past a very poor district, rural, agricultural. So it's what people add. It's never been like gastronomic food. That's putting things together. Dau Provençal was really nice. The variation of the Boeuf Bourguignon, but they stole it from us. But but so it's more simple seed, you said. Like the sea is not far, so nice dorade or some sea urchins or something. So.
Yeah, if I never thought about trying some urchins.
Yeah. Slow cooked lamb.
Ou la ronde,
if you eat meat, so some very. And that's actually becomes more and more difficult because obviously the volumes and the restaurants and the turnover.
Yeah.
But actually, if you find a little bistro that slow cooks pork, lamb, anything like that. They're just simple dishes like that.
Yeah.
It's more the preparation time that make
and makes the, the quality and the quality of the produce, that's what's incredible. And a lot of the restaurants that I have actually been to here, they do get their produce from very local, and even their meats, and like you said, the cheese. It's very possible to have every little part of your meal to be from Provence. Even the salt can be from the Camargue, you know. Every part, which is amazing. Do you have a favourite wine, though, in Provence?
Depending on the season, obviously more red in winter. I love Châteauneuf-du-Pape, obviously who doesn't, but it's quite a special occasion. It's not an everyday wine. Not just because of the price, because also it's quite rich and, you know, good rosé. I discovered a lot of white, really good white in Provence.
So
I like wine which is a blend, so of different grape varieties. So Provence, all that wine is really great for me. It's a bit like everywhere. You have some very industrial, and you have a lot of small vineyards. So we tend to know a lot of nice small vineyards, and very directly. Buy any wine in supermarket anymore, you know, you just go to a small vineyard and buy a...
And I think that comes from our work, because we do a lot of wine tours. So in the wintertime, like now, we go out, we've recently discovered a new one in the Alpi that we didn't know about.
Oh, great.
And that's going to go on to this year's program. And you discover this beautiful setting, and they have a lake in the hill above and things like that.
Amazing.
And you kind of go, oh, wow, this is... And the wine is good.
Yeah.
You know, also, so it's...
Yeah, so there is plenty of really good... I'm not going to tell you all my secrets. There's some very good small vineyards. Not big production.
Yeah.
And so that's what I prefer in general. But it's the mood. It depends on what you want.
Right.
You know. It's true sometimes. Yeah.
So if you were to look, so you could go to a restaurant and you look at the wine menu, do you have any recommendations of what to look for? A lot of it, I guess, is to do with the season, what you're eating and stuff like that. But do you have any go-tos that you look for on a carte?
Well, I try to get wine, but that can be the same for everywhere I go traveling. Try to get the wine or beer or whatever from the region.
Yes.
Yeah. So I will never go, Côte d'Ivoire is not too far. When you start a Burgundy, Bordeaux, whatever other wine in a restaurant, I would not choose it. I would always ask or do my research first, what there is wine or local vineyard, and try to get it from. But you see, there's a lot of restaurants, even in Marseille and things, who are quite reputable and things, who don't have Provence wine.
Really?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I've been to a few nice ones, and I'm like, you know, there's some really amazing small vineyard around Aix-en-Provence and the south and the north of Aix-en-Provence, and you don't have any of that. You know, it's like 30 kilometers. And
but I guess it depends the chef sort of buying
what they want to do. So you know, and the so it's.
Yeah. But it's when we like to travel, one of the places we enjoy traveling to is to Spain. We enjoy Spanish wine a lot, but we don't know very much about it. But if we have a weekend in somewhere like Seville or Valencia or even Madrid, we will ask which is the wine, local wine, what you have that's nice for me, and always go on a recommendation. So that way it's a journey of discovery, so you taste something you're not used to.
Yeah.
And I think we apply the same a little bit with living here.
And like you said, it's a pretty good bit to say. If you're going to ask what's the local wine, it's probably going to be nice if they've decided to put it on the menu.
Yeah.
Well, to finish off, we're going to do this quick fire round.
Okay.
I've got three questions for you both to round up, I guess, our conversation today. So first off, if you were to choose just one, what is your favorite village or city in Provence that everyone should go to?
I will go back to, say, Saignon.
Saignon, yeah.
Both said the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
Because you have to choose one.
Yeah, you have to just choose one. Yeah. It's hard. It's very hard.
There's so many.
So, as I said to you earlier, Saignon is just above Apt. It's tiny.
It's kind of like hidden away, and you discover it.
Yeah.
On the top of a rock. So when you're on a chateau, the ruin of the chateau and things, you have an amazing view, almost 300...
60 degrees.
Yeah. I was getting 60 and 80. So, but yeah, it's very quaint. It's very quaint. It's all little tiny lane and kind of bendy and old houses.
It's very pretty.
Well, that's going to be first on my list to visit.
It's very small, so you can do those places. And
perfect. Okay, number two. If you could choose just one food from Provence or wine that you think someone needs to try when they come to Provence, what would it be?
You try food. I'll try wine.
food. Well, something very simple. I was only one.
I could let you say two if they combine together to make a dish, you know.
Oh, damn. The two doesn't go together.
You can say the two. I'll allow you to say two.
A simple product here is goat cheese.
Goat cheese, yes.
I mean, when it's done, very small villages or small herd and things, not the industry, not supermarket stuff, but in the market, when you see the people making it, selling it, in general, in after the guy selling it, it's like so you know, soft and it's creamy. You just eat it like that with your finger, with no bread, it's just gorgeous.
Incredible.
So, back with figs or strawberry. Mm-hmm. But one thing is very simple, I love, is calisson. You know the little sweet calisson from Aix-en-Provence?
Oh, I don't know if I do know.
See, it's a little oval shape.
Little lozenge.
Oh, I don't think I know
so
it.
So that's made of preserved melon, orange peel, rounded almond, mixed all together, and there is like a glaçage royal on the top.
Okay,
so
wow.
It's a small little...
Like a bonbon? Bite.
Yeah, it's very soft.
I've never had it before.
And it's on like a rice paper base.
Yeah.
Wow, so, Kelly's
originally from Aix-en-Provence, from the Middle Ages. Supposedly was created as a gâteau from the wedding of Roi René. And his wife, Dame Jeanne, was supposedly very stern. So he asked his pâtissier to do a cake as beautiful as she was. So he made this cake. Because originally was a cake, now it's a sweet. And supposedly she smiled. And she said, which was apparently an event on his own.
And
she smiled.
I don't think we're supposed to say that anymore, are we?
And she's supposed to have said, oh, it's like a little calissou. And in all Provençal, it's a small kiss or a canin.
A cuddle.
So that's the legend. We don't know this.
It's calisson.
Yeah, it's middle of the 14th century, so not been recorded. But that's the story. Mm-hmm. And that's always been the emblem of Aix-en-Provence.
Great.
The sweet, so you have different companies doing it. Mm-hmm. From very industrial to some artisanal.
Yeah.
And now you have other plates. Before it was Aix-en-Provence, now it's all Provence in general. But that's something a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know.
A lot of tourists never heard of. It's not as famous as a Nougat Montélimar, but it's kind of sweet like that. But it's because it's full of melon and orange, it's very fragrant.
Yeah, it sounds delicious. Mm. Oh, I'll have to try that too. Great. And wine.
And in terms of wine, I'd say more of a specific small area that's perhaps lesser known, and that's the wines of the Saint-Victoire, so the south side of the Saint-Victoire mountain. There's a very small appellation. In amongst that, you have some amazing wine, one biodynamic, etc. So a lot of much smaller winemakers, really interesting rosé.
Very gastronomic rosé. Yeah.
Very different white, and actually some rich reds. So that's kind of like an area I would say it's well worth discovering.
It's well known, but maybe less touristy. It's good.
For sure. Great. Thank you. Some great recommendations. And finally, to finish off, can you explain to me or walk me through your ideal day in Provence? You can do it one at a time if you'd like, if they're going to be different.
I said back to what I was saying earlier, there's so many variations you can do in day in Provence.
Yes.
You know, it can be from,
maybe this would be your ideal day in that you're not working. It's not. It's just for you. You know, you've woken up. It's a Saturday morning. I guess a Saturday doesn't mean anything for you, really, does it? But
I think you're not working. I think it's a little bit like when we talked about come and meet with you today. Mm-hmm. We said, okay, well, it's a long time we haven't had time just to go to the market in Saint-Rémy. Yeah. So we arrived this morning and we had a coffee and a brioche, and then walked around the market and bought a few things to take home for tonight and had an unplanned lunch on a terrace.
Yeah.
Come meet you. And now we're going to go walk the dogs, find something to walk the dogs. So it's those sorts of things that kind of spur of the moment that you enjoy to do.
From Marseille, it would be two things. It would be I go to in the Luberon, so above Aix-en-Provence, say like... You have Loire-Marin is more touristic, there's a lot of shops, but it's very pretty. Or Curcuron, have an ice cream, as I said earlier.
There's very good ice cream in the region.
But I like villages like Ansouy, for example. Ansouy is a lot of art gallery. You can go to Tour d'Aigle. So maybe Forcalquier, for example, is much further up, but it's a beautiful little town. There is like art gallery. So you can be that, having lunch, Chris said, or take a picnic.
Yeah, nice.
You know, in the valley, in the Luberon, the Cavallon, you have along the stream, you can a lot of park. Mm-hmm. Spot for picnic, like Montjulien, you know, by Beaulieu, yes, and things, yeah. A lot of, you can do picnics or...
It sounds very cliche, but literally buying some bread and some goat's cheese and...
Charcuterie
and put it in the trunk of the car and yeah. just enjoy some it fruit while you're yeah. around.
Yeah. I mean, you can just do something yeah. amazing, very simple.
It's a simple, so, it's like yeah. going back to what you said, it's yeah. like, it's a simple life here, right? Yeah. Where you're not in a rush, you can just slowly go exactly. yeah.
so
to
it's
a beautiful
more, it's
village.
More things like that, go
and
somewhere.
And the secondary thing for me is somewhere like the Camargue, the beach at Pimansa, which is, which you take the little back over the river,
yeah.
and there's nothing there, there's no snack on the beach, there's
you
nothing.
Have to pack, you have to prepare the day before the picnic, yeah.
and you just walk, it's 13 kilometres, mm-hmm. it's at the mouth of the River Rhone, and you just walk, and that's
amazing.
Beautiful.
Play with
so it's
dogs,
just decide to do something finishes. To do something like on the spur yeah. of the moment.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. Yeah.
I think there are a lot of things you can do like that here, unplanned. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
After, it depends what you like. You know, some people yeah. prefer to be in a beach restaurant near Saint-Tropez. And
yes, true.
It depends what you like.
Yeah,
in
and
life,
the French Riviera,
you know.
Is very, very different and to what we've been talking about, which is more the Luberon and like,
yeah. I mean, but you can stuff. Do the same in Provence. You know, mm-hmm. you have. A lot of Michelin restaurants,
mm-hmm.
you have a lot of beautiful mar and chateaus mm-hmm. where you can mm-hmm. have expensive lunch and beautiful
yeah.
wine.
Yeah, there's also a lot of little villages where we know one in Saint-Victoire
mm-hmm.
where in the summertime the restaurant is actually the terrace under this big platan tree
oh,
in the
amazing.
Center of the village.
It's actually it's a place du village.
Amazing.
It's
incredible. Yeah, yeah.
And so they just take over the...
You have
place,
the
and you just
there.
Just go there and you're sitting under
you
the tree.
You have the
tree
fountain, but the table around the village fountain. You have the trees, you have the little bird.
It's
and
perfect.
It sounds... It's really cliché,
mm-hmm.
but...
It's
because
discovering
it's not a,
those
yeah,
things.
And it's not a
yeah,
touristy
yeah.
village, so you have
yeah.
to know it's there. The food is exquisite, and we take guests there. And sometimes yeah. it's like, I had people a few times who said they've been to a nice,
mm-hmm.
expensive restaurant, and it's actually, the ambiance and the food is better than the bistro in the square. Mm-hmm. Because
oh, it's so true. There's nothing better than sitting out
yeah.
on a terrace.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the key is that you're going slow,
yes.
and you're having good food, good wine,
mm.
whatever your preference is.
Absolutely, yeah.
and taking in the beauty of the region, for sure, because
yes.
it
yes.
is incredibly
yeah.
beautiful.
And the colours change. That's the great thing about
mm-hmm.
this area.
Yeah,
month
sure.
by month,
yeah.
everything changes.
Definitely.
On the Alpi, where we are to
mm-hmm.
the Luberon,
mm-hmm.
it's not far. I mean, it's
no.
just
yeah.
50 kilometers, 60,
yeah.
right, of, approximately. The countryside is completely different. The trees are different.
Yeah.
The landscape. It is, so
yeah, totally.
It's just in a day, you can visit
yeah.
two different things. That's,
yeah.
that's beautiful. Mm. Yeah.
It is. It is beautiful. And that's why we all chose to live here,
yes,
isn't
sure.
it?
Exactly.
So thank you so much, Christopher
so
and
much.
Laurent, for speaking to me today and for sharing all your tips and tricks and goodies
You're
and
very
stuff.
Welcome.
I'll make sure to have them all written up in the blog so that people can... write them down and go check them out for themselves.
Thank you.
And make sure to also follow Eau Provence, O-O-H
Provence. Yeah. The idea was Eau Provence.
Yes, nice. Eau Provence on Instagram.
Yes.
And you have obviously your website as
yes.
well.
That's
perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And yes, that's it for now.